الله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وإذا سألك عبادي عني فإني قريب أجيب دعوة الداعي إذا دعاني فليستجيبوا لي وليؤمنوا بي لعلهم يرشدون وقال أيضا وقال أستجب لكم إن الذين يستكبرون عن عبادتي سيدخلون جهنم داخرين وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إنه من لم يسأل الله يغضب عليه وقال أيضا الدعاء مخ العبادة أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام صدق الله صدق الله المولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الحبيب الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم Most respected ulama ikram, elders and dear friends, every person's life in this world is beset with some types of trials, some types of difficulties. Any person, no matter who he may be, no matter what his financial standing may be, no matter what his social standing may be, whatever condition he may be, as long as he is existing in this realm, in this world, in this dunya, he will face some challenges, some difficulties, some ups and downs in his life. And it is natural that since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us with emotions, with feelings, that when a person experiences these difficulties, these trials, then he will become anxious, he will become distressed to some extent because of this natural feeling in him that has been created in him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, out of the sheer grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every one of us with a universal solution, a way in which we can address and come out of any problem that we may be facing, any difficulty that we may be encountering. The solution is by turning earnestly to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Him and begging from Him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us this unique way of communicating directly to Him and asking of Him to move and remove and take away whatever may be distressing us in whatever condition it may be distressing us. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us very beautifully, أَلَا أَدُلُّكُمْ عَلَى مَا يُنْجِيكُمْ مِنْ عَدُوِّكُمْ that should I not show you something that will save you from your enemies. وَيُدِرُّ لَكُمْ أَرْزَاقَكُمْ And such a thing that will increase your sustenance. تَدْعُونَ اللَّهَ فِي لَيْلِكُمْ وَنَهَارِكُمْ That make dua and beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day and night, night and day. Beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ الدُّعَى سِلَاحُ الْمُؤْمِنِ Indeed, dua, beseeching and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the weapon of a believer. Just like how a person repels an enemy, chases away an enemy, fights off an enemy with a weapon, likewise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed every believer with this weapon of dua, that if anything is distressing him, he feels overwhelmed at any time, he feels that that things are not going his way, everything is going against the tide for him, he has this weapon. He has to just utilize this weapon and beseech and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will definitely answer his dua in whichever way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala deems most appropriate. We will get to that shortly, inshallah. Sometimes a person is already experiencing some difficulties, some trials and some tribulations in his life. And sometime it may be that a person in the future, he may be affected by certain problems. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made dua such a thing that it can ward off and lessen difficulties that are already affecting a person. And it has the power also of removing and taking away difficulties that may be predestined for a person in the future, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us, إِنَّ الدُّعَاءَ يَنْفَعُ مِمَّا نَزَلْ وَمِمَّا لَمْ يَنْزِلْ فَعَلَيْكُمْ عِبَادَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, dua, it benefits a person with regards to what has befallen a person already and what has not yet befallen a person. Something that is still to come in the future, a problem that a person may experience in the future, a person can make dua now for protection from that. Oh Allah, keep me safe from financial difficulties. Keep me safe from marital problems. Keep me safe from sicknesses. Something that has not even yet befallen him now and could have, could befall him in the future, could be muqaddar for him that that certain thing may happen to him. But a person has the capacity and has the weapon and the ability and a way in protecting himself and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for protection from this and for the removal of this difficulty now in the present. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has also advised us that we should protect our wealth from destruction by paying our zakat. Pay your zakat and protect your wealth from destruction. And treat your sick through giving sadaqah. Those that are sick, we have been advised, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has advised us, and our elders always advise us that keep taking out sadaqah, especially when there is some difficulty, when a person is sick, when someone in the family is sick, take out sadaqah, and sadaqah dispels and removes the difficulties. And further, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us that prepare for the waves of calamities through dua and through turning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earnestly. Waves of calamities, the ummah at large, every person, either in his own space, in his own life, in his own society, or if you look at the entire ummah globally, who is there that is not experiencing some difficulty or the other? If a person in his own life, alhamdulillah, he may be comfortable, he may not be experiencing something, some difficulties, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him, but right at his doorstep, maybe his neighbor, maybe others in his community, or if not that, then in the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, definitely there are many, many, many thousands and thousands of people who are experiencing difficulties. And we can assist them by lifting our hands and making dua for them also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as we mentioned, has given us this recourse. It is not that a person is totally helpless by being overwhelmed by any difficulty. If any difficulty befalls a person, some hardship comes upon a person, some calamity comes upon him in any way, a person, a Muslim, a believer is not left totally helpless. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed a believer with a few things. He has the ability of performing wudu. If not wudu, then at least tayammum. He has the ability of performing two rakats of salah. And he has the ability of raising his two hands up, his begging bowl before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A mu'min, a believer cannot become totally overwhelmed by any difficulty that comes on him, and he should not become in a state, should not enter into a state of complete anxiety and depression and stress himself out like there's no way out. There is definitely a way out. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us, given the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these avenues: make wudu, perform two rakats of salah, beseech Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should be that we conscientize ourselves and we conscientize our families that this should be the first cause of action. When a problem comes to us, when we are experiencing some difficulty for ourselves, our families, then our mindset should be that the first cause of action is begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, beseeching Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help first. And to do this, there are many kitabs of fazail that we can read from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, from the lives of his noble companions, the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, and from our pious predecessors, our mashayikh, our akabirin, how they turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. Sadly, our condition is that we look at all the asbab, we look at all the different avenues and means before we turn to the creator of all means. We'll be prepared to make 10, 20 phone calls, we'll be prepared to stand in queues for hours, but to perform two rakats of salah and lift up our hands and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the same difficulty for which we made all this other effort, it comes to our mind last. We need to conscientize ourselves, I myself and all of us, that the first cause of action should be asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Our ustad, Mawlana Ilyas Patel sahab, down barakatum, once he was explaining a very beautiful point. He said that our iman can be termed as third degree iman. For what did he mean? What he said, what I mean by this, and he gave an example that a person, for example, and we can take this example and put it in all our lives, in each and every one of our lives, and put it in various different circumstances in our lives. It's just one example. So a person, he says to his friend that I'm going to a country, maybe some far off, unusual country, I'm going to visit one relative of mine. So his friend asks him, okay, when you get there, then what you going to do? How you going to move around and get to the place? He said, no, my uncle, I'm going to visit my relative there, my uncle there. So I'll phone him up and he'll come fetch me and then I'll be on my way. I'll be fine. So the person asks him, okay, so now what if it happens that you get there and then now for some reason your uncle is gone somewhere. He's not there. He can't pick you up. He said, no, that's no problem. I got my wallet here. I got the money. I got the credit cards. I'll get a cab, go into the hotel. I'll sort myself out. Okay, so the person asked him the next question, that what would be your circumstance if you land up there, your uncle is not there also, and you got pickpocketed, your money is gone, your cards are gone, you haven't got anything. He said, no, then Allah is there. Allah is there, Allah will see to us. So that is our sad reality. Each and every one of us, if we look at our lives, we will go and explore different avenues, explore different means before we turn to the Creator of all means. Our mindset should be, my mindset, and all of our mindset should be that upon the experiencing any problem, experiencing any difficulty, before we turn to the means, definitely we should use the means. Now we're not saying the person is sick, then he mustn't take no medicine, he mustn't go to the doctor. We're not saying that. We're not saying that if a person feels unsafe in his home, then he shouldn't put any protection in his home, gates, burglar guards, alarm system. No, we're not saying that. We are saying that use the means, but before the means, turn to the Creator of means. That the Qudrat and the power of the means giving you any safety, the means giving you any wellness, the means giving you any betterment in your life, is only through the hukam and the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That medicine that you will eat will only give you shifa if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes that medicine to give you shifa. The protection that you will put in your home will only give you protection if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants it to protect you. So our yaqeen must be that Allah is the doer, Allah is the zat, and we should make it such, we should make it a habitual thing in our lives that we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first. We look at some examples from our pious predecessors. Then it is mentioned that once a person, he went to a very influential governor and he had some problem, some financial issue, and he went to that governor to go and ask him for some help, for some financial assistance. He goes there, he finds that this governor, this person who is a very influential person, a person who is high up in society, he finds this banda in sajda, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So now he sees this governor, now he thinks, no, I came to ask this person. This person is asking the person, the being who is the provider of everyone. So then he says to himself slightly audibly that, why should I ask him? Why don't I ask that being who he is imploring, that being who is seeing to his problems, why don't I ask that being? So when that governor got up from his sajda, then he called his attendants. He had overheard what this man had said. He had called one of his attendants and he told them that give this man 10,000, whether it was 10,000 gold coins or 10,000 silver coins, give him this. And he said to this man that that being who I was imploring, and that being to who you turned your attention to, that being gave you this money. So the money came to him, but it came to him, he changed his niyat. At that moment, he heard the person who he was coming to ask for help, he heard that person asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for help. He turned his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made a way out for him, without him even asking that person. There's another famous incident that we hear, that there was a porter at once in a certain place, and this porter used to transport valuables for people from one place to the other. And it happened such that one day while he was taking the valuables and he was traveling on his mule, a person came to him and asked him for a lift. So, and he gave him a lift and they continued on their journey. When they came to a crossroad and there were two ways to go, then the passenger, the person who took the lift, asked the porter that which way are you going to go? So the porter said, no, I'll go on the main road because I know the main road. So the person who took the lift from him, he told him, no, take this alternate route. I know this route very well. There's a lot of lush green grass here, pasture for your donkey or your mule to eat. And also it's a shortcut. We'll get there very quickly. So the porter, he was a Allah wala bichara person. He took the man's word for it and they continued on that route, on the alternate route. Nevertheless, little way they traveled and they came to a dead end. And there they see the place is strewn with dead bodies, people who have been murdered. And this passenger jumps off from the mule, he takes out a knife, and he threatens this man that I'm going to kill you. So the porter says to him, you know what, take the mule, take the goods, take everything, leave me, spare my... He said, no, I want to kill you. That's my... All these people here, I want to kill you also. So the porter says to him, okay, afford me the opportunity to perform 2 rakats of salah. So he starts laughing, he says, yeah, you read, how much salah you want to read? All these people are asked to read salah. They read salah, but this is what happened to him. So the person, the porter, he turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He performs, starts performing his salah. He reads Surah Fatiha and he doesn't know what to read after that. He's at a loss. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala inspires him and he reads the ayat, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّوءُ. That who is that being that wards off, removes, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ, he removes difficulties from a person and he shuns and he takes away hardship from him. And this person, he reads this ayat, and barely he reads this ayat and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends an angel to his assistance. The angel comes down, a person on a horse with a shiny helmet and a spear. And he pierces the spear into this rogue, into this thief. And that person dies immediately. This person, this porter, he completes his salah. And he goes behind that person. He asks him that, who are you? So the person tells him that I am an angel. And when you implore that being who assists and removes difficulties from everybody, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent me to come and help you and to protect you. These are instances, these are occurrences that happen when a person turns to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with full yaqeen, with full conviction, and he begs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help him. And these are not things that only have happened in the past. These are things that continue happening every day right till now. If a person turns his attention to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and begs earnestly of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a person will see and he will be surprised. And he will see the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah ta'ala turns his qudrat in the person's favor when the person begs with yaqeen. Our Ustad Mawlana Harun Sahib, rahmatullahi alayh, he mentioned one incident. By the time when he mentioned it, then he never say who it was in the incident. But now we'll say who it was. So once Mawlana went for Umrah, and I think he went to Madinah Sharif first, and then after that he went to Makkah Sharif. So when he reached Makkah Sharif, he said he went to make his Umrah. After his Umrah, he was in the Haram. Now he realized his cell phone is gone. At that time, they had simple cell phones, not all these fancy phones. Now he wasn't worried about his phone. He said he was worried about all the contacts, the phone numbers he had inside. Because now how are you going to get hold of the people? Nobody won't be able to get hold of anyone. Now you've got a fikr, that phone is gone. Meet dua, sitting there in the mataf, begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take this problem away from him. And give him a way out from it. But nevertheless, he went away to his hotel room, and the phone never come. After a little while, one person knocks at the door of the hotel room. He comes there, he sees his friend. He knows this person. He's from Makkah Sharif also. The person gives the phone to Mawlana Harun Sahib. Out of the blue. Now Mawlana is trying to figure this thing out. Where this man came from, my friend, where he got my phone? So I ask him, what happened? How you got my phone? He said, no, Mawlana, You were going by flight from Madinah Sharif to Makkah Sharif, Madinah Sharif to Jeddah, and at the check-in counter you were busy, and you left your phone there. I was also on the same flight. I was a few behind you, and I noticed you had left this phone behind. So when I came to the check-in counter, then I asked, and I know this person, I'll take the phone away, I'll make the intizam of giving the phone back to him. A person will never think that such a solution can come about, because you will be at a loss. If you and I were sitting there, and we'd be thinking now, finish now. What are we going to do? How is Allah Ta'ala is the doer. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes the means. Allah Ta'ala is the one who makes the asbab. So as I mentioned, this is not something that only happened in the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, in the time of the Sahaba radhiyallahu anhum, in the time of the awliya in the past, only in India, only in Pakistan. No, the qudrat of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala is evident till now and will be evident right till the day of Qiyamah. It is for us to have the yaqeen in Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, in begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala earnestly with ikhlas and with yaqeen that Allah is a doer. Allah can change the condition in our favor. Allah can change the condition of the ummah for betterment. Now we know the Ummah, especially in Gaza, in Palestine, they are going through extreme difficulties. In this past 2 weeks, though we may not be here, not be coming out in the media so much, the bombing has intensified to another level. They are burning our brothers and sisters in their tents. They have no recourse to go anywhere. They have no place to flee anywhere. Bombs and such artillery on them that is burning them completely in their tents outside. Allah save them. Allah give them najat. Allah remove this menace that is over them completely. Our job, we are here. And when you speak to the people in Palestine also, they tell you, yes, you can do something. When you ask them, you can do something, make dua for them. Make dua for your brothers and sisters in Gaza. Make dua for your brothers and sisters in the West Bank who are being oppressed also. And in any other part of the world, we have this capacity amongst us in this ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made this ummah like one body. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam has explained to us, we are like one body. If something is affecting one part of the body, it's as if the whole body is in pareshani, is in pain. Like a person's eye is paining, person's head is paining, his head or his eye is not isolated from his body, his whole body goes through distress. Like that, when the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is suffering somewhere, it ought to distress every one of us, because we all form the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, as I said, we can turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and make dua and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, more than sending financial assistance to them, more than sending kind to them, more than anything else, the first step is make 2 rakats of salah and beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to remove the problems of the ummah completely. Allah ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.